My friends, today is a very special day, and I have an even more special friend to share with you, so please stick with me in today's video. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Spirit, we thank you for this time and for this moment. I ask that you speak through me in this video and that you reach the hearts of those listening and stir in them your power and your love. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, this is a channel Uniquely Mary. My name is Alvaro. Thank you for joining me today. And today, as this is being filmed, it is April 29th, the great feast of one of the doctors of the church, one of the few female doctors of the church, Saint Catherine of Siena. Now, many saints have played a wonderful role in my life, but her, maybe in a very particular way, there was a moment in my life where she was really such a wonderful teacher. And there's a few saints that you can say this, but definitely with her, if you were to just stick with her and follow her and let her guide you, you would grow in holiness. You would grow closer to Jesus. You would not only know the truth, but you would live it, and you would impact the lives of other people. There are two main works that we can talk about when we talk about St. Catherine of Siena. By the way, she was a Third Order Dominican, and she is from Siena, Italy. I had the blessing to visit Siena some years ago, and she's buried there. Well, part of her head is in Siena. Her body is in Rome. I've actually been to Rome to where she's buried in that church, so I've gotten to see both of her parts, and she is an amazing saint. So two of her works that are so important. The first one is called The Dialogue, and I don't know who wrote it, but what it is apparently is it's essentially her conversation with God the Father, and it is unbelievable. Don't let the difficulty of the book trick you or discourage you, but stick with it, read it slowly, and it is unbelievable. It's in different parts, but for instance, the part, the treatise on prayer is amazing. She explains how to pray better than anyone else. She's hands down far better at telling you the inner workings of prayer. And then the other work is her life, the biography of St. Catherine of Siena, written by Blessed Raymond of Capua. So he was her spiritual director, and this is a quite amazing book because he's compiling it and he's telling you that he's writing the book as he's writing it. At the end of each chapter, he says, if you don't believe what I wrote, go and talk to these people, because he knows that what he writes about her life is so fantastic and so difficult to believe that he literally puts the witnesses that were still alive at the time. So you get the sense that when he's writing the book, he has this kind of like urgency and this excitement. And as you're reading it, you're just, you know, you're just amazed by who this woman is. And he gives you a sense of how amazing she was. So I want to jump to the summary of the book towards the end when she is dying, when she gives her kind of final counsels, her final advice. And some of this will echo what she says in the dialogue. So if you've read both books, you'll understand it. But she is an amazing teacher. If you had to pick one teacher, she would be an amazing one. There are very many other great teachers in the Catholic faith. St. Catherine of Siena, top five, easily. So let's hear what she has to say. Her first and fundamental principle was that people who wish to begin to serve God must rid their hearts of all that kind of love into which the senses enter, not only for people, but for any kind of creature whatsoever. And that they must seek for God, the Creator, single-mindedly and wholeheartedly. The heart, she said, cannot be entirely given to God unless it is delivered from all other affections and is simple and open and free from double-mindedness. She also said that from her childhood days, her one aim had been to labor towards this end. She said further that she had realized that the soul cannot reach this perfect state when it can give its heart to God completely unless it prays. And she showed that prayer must necessarily be founded upon humility and not derive from any belief in his own virtue on the part of the person praying, who on the contrary should always recognize that of himself he is nothing. She went on to say that she had always done all she could to practice prayer and to make it a continual habit, and she had realized that it strengthened and increased the other virtues, whereas without it, they weakened and withered away. And she so urged her auditors to persevere in prayer, which she said was of two kinds, vocal and mental. And she taught them that they should devote themselves to vocal prayer at fixed times, but should always be praying mentally, either actually or habitually. She said again that in the light of faith, she had seen quite clearly that everything that happened to herself and everyone else came from God, and not from hatred, but from the great love that he has for his creatures. From this, she had conceived a love for God's commandments and ministers and had learned to obey them promptly, firmly believing that their orders always came from God, either for her own salvation or for the sake of an increase of virtue in her soul. She added that to acquire purity of mind, it was necessary for people to refrain from judging their fellow men and from gossiping about what they do, and to have regard only for God's will for them. This led her to say a great deal about not judging people for any reason whatsoever. That is to say, not saying anything in contempt or condemnation of them, even though we were to see them committing sin with our very own eyes. If again, we were to discover that someone had committed a fault, we should have compassion on them, pray to God for them, and not treat them with scorn or contempt. She said that she had always had great hope and trust in divine providence and urged her listeners to do the same, saying that she had learned from experience that this providence was great and unlimited. In this connection, she reminded them that when she had been with her, they had sometimes experienced this too, on occasions when the Lord had miraculously provided for their meals. And she added that the same divine providence never lets anyone down who trusts in it, and that it would be with them always in a special way. These and other instructions the Holy Virgin gave her people, ending her discourse with the Savior's own precept and exhorting them humbly but repeatedly to love each other. She said this to them again and again, in a voice that was itself sweet and loving. Love each other, O my dearest children. Love each other. If they truly loved each other, she said, they would show that they really had been her spiritual children and had wanted to be, and she would remain in contact with them and do all she could to show them that she was still their mother. Furthermore, if they had loved each other, they would be her glory and her crown, and she, accepting them forever as her children, would pray to the divine goodness to infuse into their souls the abundance of graces that the Lord had infused into her own soul. Besides this, she told all present, with an authority deriving from love, that they should always long and pray for the reform and good estate of God's holy church and the vicar of Christ. She told them that always, but especially during the previous 7 years, she had carried such a wish in her heart and had never omitted, at least in those 7 years, to pray to the divine majesty and goodness for this end. Now, skipping to the end, this is what happens. At this point, as I've been told by those present at the time, she suddenly lost all her strength. But despite this, she continued to give holy advice to the children, both present and absent, whom she had generated in Christ. At this last moment, she remembered me too and said, in all your doubts and needs, turn to Friar Raimundo and tell him not to be discouraged or lose heart, whatever happens, for I shall always be with him to save him from any danger. And when he does anything he shouldn't, I shall tell him and see that he mends his ways and improves. They told me that she said this many times for as long as she could speak. Realizing that the moment of death was approaching, she said, Lord, I commend my spirit into your hands. And with these words, that holy soul was freed from the bonds of the flesh as she had for so long desired, and was inseparably united for all eternity with the heavenly bridegroom, she had loved so greatly. It was the year of the Lord, 1380, the 29th day of April, a Sunday, about the hour of Terce. And that, my friends, is the parting advice of Saint Catherine of Siena. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Meditate on those words, listen to them again, and let them change how you see, think, and pray. If you want to learn more about her, read her book, The Dialogue. Unbelievable. One of the best spiritual books out there, and many people don't talk about it because it's a little difficult to read, but it's amazing. And then the biography of Saint Catherine of Siena by Blessed Raymond of Capua. An amazing book as well. My friends, God bless you. Happy Feast of Saint Catherine of Siena, and I'll see you in the next video.